السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا. واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا. رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا. واصبر على ما يقولون واهجرهم هجرا جميلا. وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومهلهم قليلا. إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما وطعاما ذا غصة وعذابا أليما. يوم ترجف الأرض والجبال وكانت الجبال كثيبا مهيلا. إنا أرسلنا إليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا. فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا. صدق الله العظيم. Today, inshallah, we are starting from ayah number 8 of Surah Al-Muzzammil. And as we have been reading in our past sessions, that in this surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to carry the work of Islam out to the world. This surah is one of the first surahs that were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this surah, there aren't too many messages for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out and convey to the disbelievers. The main theme of the surah is to prepare Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself to be able to carry this message. And at the same time be ready to face everything that would come on his way in delivering the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the world. It wasn't an easy task. In fact, if you look at it, this is the greatest responsibility ever given to any human being, to carry the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being a messenger of Allah is not an easy thing. It's the greatest responsibility any human being ever loaded with. And accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares His prophets and His messengers gradually so that they can carry the message, and at the same time be ready to face all the difficulties that would come on the way of delivering the message. And if we were the ones who would send an ambassador and a messenger, we might keep all of these things very secret, that how would I prepare my ambassador? What instructions I would give the ambassador? I would not make it public. Otherwise, people will start judging me and the ambassador according to those instructions. And not only that, then everyone would know how did I prepare him to carry out those responsibilities. And I don't want everyone to know about it. These are my secrets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not keeping these things as a secret. In fact, he revealed the ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem so that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever is to carry the message of Islam and to take this revelation in order to convey to the rest of the world and to anyone else in the world, those people can prepare themselves in the light of these ayahs. In simple words, as we all believe that it's our responsibility to convey the message of Islam to others, and not to just limit it to ourselves. فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبُ. It was the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that those who are present should convey the message to those who have not got the message yet. Those who know even an ayah should teach it to those who don't know that ayah. Those who have received this deen of Allah should not just hold this message to themselves and keep them this deen to themselves. Should go and take this deen to others. In that way, when we look at this surah is the first step to all the believers, to every Muslim, to prepare our souls to carry the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to carry the Quran and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, and then be able to go and convey, and then be effective at the time when we convey the message. And if we see some different results from the other side, we don't give up. If we see difficulties, we don't react. We know how to deal with the situations. This surah is extremely important for us to go through it and practice it if we would like to follow those steps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and fulfill our responsibilities as the true believers of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as I mentioned, in this surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us different things, how he prepared Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to carry the message of Islam. In fact, the surah is directly addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because it was revealed at a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was preparing him, and he's telling him that إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Soon, seen سَنُلْقِي, seen means soon. Soon, we will be loading you with some very heavy message to carry to others. So therefore, we are preparing you for this, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we know from the beginning of the surah, the first instruction given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُمِ اللَّيْلِ, of performing Salat al-Tahajjud. And then he's giving him the times at what time he should be performing Salat al-Tahajjud. We talked about that in detail in our previous sessions. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the benefit of performing Salat al-Tahajjud. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. That you will be able to carry this message, this heavy message to the world. At the same time, another benefit. إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَ مُقِيلًا. That ibadah that is performed during the night time will be more helpful in controlling your nafs and your desires, and will allow you to say the righteous words. And we talked about that also in detail. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, as He's telling us the benefits, at the same time He's reminding us that if you need to carry this heavy message, this message is not a light message. And if we don't feel the real heaviness of the message, that simply means we are just carrying some words to others and therefore they are not effective. We ourselves have not seen the message. We ourselves have not felt the message. We don't feel it. We tell others to perform salah. Have you ever felt salah? When we perform the salah, do we feel it? When a person gets hungry, he feels that I'm hungry. If a person is thirsty, there is a feeling that will force him, go ahead and drink the water. You see a glass of water in front of you. What makes you drink the water? Sometimes you like to drink it, but sometimes you're so thirsty that something from within you is forcing you, go ahead and drink it. And we might have been sometime in our life in a situation, especially if you travel, you go through some of these situations, that you are somewhere at the airport, or you are in some of the towns out of country. You're extremely thirsty, looking for water, and you can't find a water. As nowadays they do it in many airports, that they intentionally don't keep the water fountains. Why? So that people will buy from one of those stores. They will buy the cold drink from one of the stores that are on the airport. And I have seen in some of the airports a small glass of Coke that would fill 2/3 of it with an ice and put a little Coke on it, will charge you $5. $5. And you still find yourself going and buying it, and then drinking it and throwing half of the ice in the garbage. What makes that person go and spend the $5 for a glass of water that normally he won't even spend a penny for it? Is the feeling that he has, I'm thirsty. That feeling would make him go and spend that money. But when there is a time for salah, and we are busy doing something else, do we feel the salah that something tells us, get up, leave everything alone, because now you feel you have to do the salah? Do we feel these ibadahs? Do we feel this message of Islam? I was saying we haven't felt it. And then when we carry the words to others, they just take the words, and it doesn't become part of their lives, because it was never part of our life. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about this message, that this is qawlan faqila. This is a very heavy message. Feel it. Practice it. You will feel this message, the heaviness of this message. You will see the weight of this message. It weighs a lot. But sometimes we just say the words so quickly, and just say them in such a way that they are nothing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. You have a lot of work to do during the daytime. We talked about this ayah also in detail in our previous session. One point that I would like to mention at this time about this ayah, before we continue now to the next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, is telling us that when you are doing the work of this deen, keep on doing the work, but make sure night time keep it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, daytime you have a lot of that work that I have assigned you. Not his business, not his trade that he has to do. سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا شُغْلًا طَوِيلًا. A lot of work, and the work is not that he have taken upon himself, is the work that Allah have assigned it on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet he's telling him, nighttime, that's for me, that's between me and you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now remember, the reason we are going through this, so we can understand the next ayahs and grab understand the real theme of the surah and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Remember the name of your Lord. Part of the preparation, again, is preparing him. Allah is preparing him to take the message, to be able to convey the message properly, effectively. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Remember the name of your Lord. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course not. He wasn't neglecting the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la'yazu billah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Remember the name of your Lord. That simply means that continuously keep on remembering Him and saying His name. And all the time have His name on your tongue and in your heart. Keep on mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah of Quran al-Kareem, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. When Allah says a lot, it's not like a person like me saying a lot. When Allah says kathir, a lot, that simply means even if we would spend the whole time doing it, still we may not be able to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say to Allah, Ya Allah, I remembered you a lot in my life. So, we can understand now when Allah is telling us a lot, what does that mean? Simply means do the best you can to always keep yourself busy in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that might get you the benefit of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayah we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say وَذْكُرْ رَبِّكَ. Now وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ, remember Allah. What did he say? وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ, remember the name of your Lord. What is his name? His name is Allah. The name of our Lord is Allah. And here we find sometimes when people translate Allah as Lord, that's a wrong translation. Rabb, we may translate it as a Lord. But Allah is the name of our Lord. Allah is the name of the one that we worship. That's His name. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, remember the name of your Lord. Which means He's asking us to remember the word Allah. Allah, Allah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned in the hadith, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقال في الأرض Allah, Allah. The day of judgment will not take place as long as there are people to say Allah, Allah. Same thing, there is an ayah of Quran al-Kareem where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. True believers are those that when Allah is mentioned before them, what is mentioned before them? Allah. Their hearts start trembling with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ اِذْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ اِذْعُوا الرَّحْمَانِ. Call Him by saying Allah, or call Him by saying Ar-Rahman. أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Whichever name you select, all the good names belong to Him. So these are the adhkar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. And as part of the preparation to carry the message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those beginning days of the da'wah, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ, remember the name of your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا, and always devote yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a complete and a full devotion. What does this word tabattul mean? Literally, tabattul means to cut yourself off from everything else. To cut yourself off from everything else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ. when you cut yourself off from everything else, then you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So join your relationship with Allah, and the more you join the relationship, the more start getting cut off from everything else. What does this ayah mean? We need to understand the message of the ayah. We should not confuse this with what Christians used to do by just secluding themselves, going out in the jungles and wooing of not getting married at all and not associating with people, cutting off totally from people, just living in jungles and deserts. This is something forbidden in our Islam. We are not allowed to do anything like that. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah and telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this ayah is that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while living with people, keep that distance. Don't be so much involved in the worldly things and with your social life that will keep you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't allow your relationship with your public relation and all the other work that you do in your life to keep you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to cut you off at any time from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, at all the times, no matter what the person is doing, he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, in his mind. Just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned the very same point in that hadith where he said, Al-Ihsan an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah. Ihsan means you worship Allah as if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, not all of us can be of that level, that we can feel that I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the second choice, that a mu'min cannot go below that. That's the last choice. There is nothing below that for a mu'min. And that is, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That if you cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this at least should be in your mind that Allah is watching me. That has to be in our mind. But unfortunately, our situation is such that even at a time when we are performing salah, hardly we have that feeling that we are, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Forget about the whole salah. I don't know how many sujood we might have performed in our life with that feeling throughout the sajda that Allah is watching me. And Islam is asking us that to perfect your belief is not to be a believer. We are believers, alhamdulillah. But to perfect your iman and your faith, and to understand the message, to be able to carry the message, and to feel the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Devote yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Full devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will always keep the person remembering his Lord. Will always, no matter where that person is, he might be in business, doing some business. He might be with his family. He might be playing with his children. Whatever the person might be doing at the time, but Allah is in his mind, will not utter a single word that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will not do a single action that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with a group of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. As Sahaba are sitting around him, they are having a feeling that they see the Jannah in front of them. The hellfire is behind them. After that gathering, when they went back home, the feeling was not there. Some of the Sahaba came back. They complained, Ya Rasulullah, we don't have that feeling at all the times. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sa'atan fa sa'ah. You won't have it at all the times. When you sit with me, your feelings will be different. This tells us the feelings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't know what was in his heart at all the times, that when people are just sitting with him, their situation is such that they, as if they can see the Jannah and Jahannam with their own eyes. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith about the true and the virtuous servants of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alladhina idha ru'u zukir Allah. There are some of my of the servants of Allah that when you see them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're around them, you don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Normally we sit in the car, we forget to recite the dua. But if we are with those people, you never forget that dua. When that person is around you, you will always try to follow every sunnah. As soon as you leave the gathering, you just do things differently. الَّذِينَ إِذَا رُؤُوا ذِكِرَ اللَّهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one of the signs of a virtuous people, then when you're around them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْدِيلًا This thing will come once we cut ourselves off from everything else. And as I said, this does not mean that leave the whole world and run out in the jungles. The real benefit is, and the real virtue is, when we are with people and our heart is attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people can benefit also. So there is no selfishness there. That I just go by myself. Then who's going to be with the people? Who's going to be benefiting people? And here, from this ayah, we learn another very important lesson. And that is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا Remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a beautiful lesson for us that when we would like to change and correct someone, we should always be giving them some substitute first. You know a person who's used to listening to songs. If you just keep on telling the person, give up, don't listen to the song, this is haram, you will go to Jahannam if you're listening to songs. He may not stop because he doesn't know what to do if he won't listen to songs. It might be a good idea. Give him some tapes of Quran. Ask him to listen to this recitation. Some poems. Something that is allowed to listen and will at least satisfy him that by listening this I get a good feeling. As the person will listen to this, now you tell the person, give up those songs, stop listening to those songs, that's haram, and you get virtue by listening to this, you get reward by listening to this, so keep on listening to this. You give the person a substitute. Something to have instead of that. If he has nothing to have, then of course he wants to do something. And he doesn't know what to do. You never gave him a solution. And without a solution, he's going to always be in a problem. So give people a solution. You ask someone not to live in a house. Don't live in this house. So tell the person where to live. You ask him to come out and be on the street, he will never accept it from you. Tell him that there is a better place for you to live. And this is why I'm asking you to leave this house. You might show him a nice house first and then tell him, would you like to sell your house? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the same thing. First thing he said, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ People were so much involved just like we are. They're so much indulged in the worldly things. Their life was totally stuck. They were hooked into it. It's difficult to come out just like this. Someone will say, hey, leave the whole worldly things. Stay away from all of these things that are keeping you away from Allah. And the person will just leave it overnight. So first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, join them with Allah. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Join that relationship. As they will join the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you tell the people, you know, these things are not good. Certain things that you are doing in your life, these are haram. Stay away from these things. Then you remind the person that the social life that you are spending, the way that you socialize, is haram. It's not accepted. And you have given him a substitute that what to do? Join your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ. So we join people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And once they have that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gradually you start pulling them off from all the haram things that they were doing. And that will be an easy way of getting people to leave that haram. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْدِيلًا. But again, I would like to remind that here breaking the relationship doesn't mean leave your family away. Don't take care of your family. Don't do your work. And just neglect all the responsibilities. That is haram by itself. That's not allowed in the Sharia of Islam. Simply means that while fulfilling all of these responsibilities, make sure you don't forget the orders of Allah and don't forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all the times. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced it so much that when Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned the good morals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she was talking about his schedule, daily schedule, she said, كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهِ. He used to remember Allah at all the time. Which was part of practicing this first revelation that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ. And now Sahaba witnessed for him. In fact, his own wife, who sees him every time when he's in home also. That one, what does he do when he comes home? Normally when we are in the masjid, we might do a lot of good things and try to prove ourselves to be one of the most virtuous people. But what is it that we do once we are home? Aisha radiallahu anha witnesses for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his home that كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهِ. When I saw him, always I saw him remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The Lord of the East and the West. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. There is no God but Him. فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. Take Him as the in charge of your affairs. Wakil means a person who you would assign some of your work. Give him, make him the in charge of some of your work. When someone is getting married, normally we ask the woman, who is your wakil? Who is the wakil of the woman? Which simply means a person who will be speaking on her behalf. This is why lawyer is called wakil. That person will be in charge in dealing on behalf of this person for this case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The Lord of the East and the West. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. There is no God but Him. فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. Make Him in charge of all of your affairs. Subhanallah. Allah is telling us that make me in charge of your affairs. When I look at this ayah, you really wonder. It makes you think that if it really should have been that we keep on begging Allah, Ya Allah, please, I would like you to become in charge of my affairs, and Allah will say no, not for you. How many times we try to contact a lawyer and the lawyer says, I'm not taking new patients or new clients. He says, I don't deal with these cases. You have to call someone else for this case because that's not my field. I don't deal with these type of cases. Each lawyer will take only certain type of cases. For the rest, he will refer you to someone else. Allah says, hand over all of your cases to me. فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. And every person, it's open for all the human beings, that everyone can go to Allah and say, Ya Allah, I hand over all of my cases to you. You are my wakil, Ya Allah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, admiring the true believer, says, وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. They said, Allah is enough for us, and He is the best helper, caretaker, who would take care of our situation here, and who will be responsible to take care of all of these problems that we are facing. When Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were told that the kuffar have gathered, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ, when they were told that all the kuffar have gathered to destroy you people, you should be afraid of them. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا, their iman got even stronger, and they said, وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. How many times we find ourselves saying, oh, don't worry, my lawyer is that person, I have hired that firm, and you know, this firm will make it. And the other person cannot afford to have that type of firm, hire that type of lawyer or that firm, and therefore there is no way for him to win. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you really, this ayah, if we have iman, we have faith, it will connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so strongly that whenever we have anything, we'll say Allah is going to deal with in this case on my behalf. I have referred this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's your lawyer? Who's going to be your defendant? وَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is my wakil. Allah will take care of it. That needs faith. That needs iman. That needs trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we have some people who belong to some lawyers who are working in some of the very reputable firms, and they are well known for their dealings of these cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Himself, Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghrib. Who is He? The Lord of the East and the West. Whatever is going on in the world, from between East and West, throughout the whole world, nothing is out of Allah's control. And He says, if everything is within His control, then of course, if you hand over your case to Him, you would never be losing. Because in that dictionary, in Allah's dictionary, that word losing does not exist over there. That word doesn't exist over there. It's always winning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, لا إله إلا هو رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا واصبر على ما يقولون. Another instruction to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how Allah is preparing him. And this is one of the very difficult ones. One of the very difficult ones for us to practice. And for normally, generally, for human beings to practice. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Be patient about anything that they say. Don't react to what they say. وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. And then, keep away from them in a good way. There are two things over here. One is, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Have patience about what they say. When these people said, when the kuffar said cursing at you, they said blaming you, they said saying things about you, اصبر على ما يقولون. Have patience. You know what does this mean? A person who is devoting his life to help those people, a person who's devoting his time sacrificing everything, his rest, and might be the time that he needs to spend with his family, he's sacrificing that time also. Sacrificing everything that he can get, all the pleasures of the life, for these people. And when he goes to talk to that person, the person curses this man. Can you imagine what would be the feeling of this person? That I sacrificed everything for you. I left my family at this time. I left my home. Other people might be sleeping at this time. Other people might be resting at this time. People might be sitting with their families and enjoying at this time. I left all of this for you. And I came and sat with you. I came here to talk to you because you are going to be facing a very difficult situation. I'm here to talk to you about it. I'm here to tell you how to get out of that situation. And now you're cursing at me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ مَا يَقُولُونَ. No matter what they say, anything that they have to say, isbah, have patience, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's easy to say, but it's not that easy to practice it. It's extremely difficult to practice something like this. Especially at a time when we have been attacked by those people. Those who we would right away label as our enemies. That these are our enemies. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Is not asking him to continue having all the relationship with them as he used to have it before. If they are rejecting your message, if they curse at you, if they blame you with different things, then O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't react. Don't say anything back to them. But at the same time, stay away from these people now. Stay away from these people, which means, now, if those are some of the people that you used to associate with, eat and drink with, stay away from those people. But when you stay away, remember the rule. Hajran jameela. Stay away in a nice way. You don't have to go and fight with those people. You don't have to go and argue with those people. You don't have to keep on backbiting those people and keep on talking against those people. Hajran jameela. In a good way. Very quietly. Just stay away from them. But don't talk against them. Don't keep on backbiting them. A very important rule of the da'wah, that when you go and talk to people about deen, when you invite people to Islam, and you find people who would say all different kind of things to you, don't come back and start talking against those people. Hajran jameela. The order is very nicely, just leave them alone. A beautiful example of this will be, as we normally use in our life, adopters for different things. We have adopters. You plug it in. It takes 110 volts from the plug. But the output of that adopter might be 9 volts. And you need something that works only on 9 volts. So you're going to use that adopter. Now there are adopters. No matter what it gets into it, you might put 110 volts. There is a button you can select. You can plug it in somewhere where they have 220 volts. And still the output will be the same, 9 volts. This is how a mu'min should be. Irrespective of the input, what comes from others, our output should be the same. It should not keep on changing according to the input. If the output will keep on changing according to the input, that's not a good adapter. You don't need that one. If 110 brings 9 volts and 220 brings 18 volts, it's going to burn your machines. And this is exactly what we do. We burn everything else because our output is totally different depending on the input. But our output should always be according to these ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. This is our output. Allah is setting the output in us. So this should be the output at all the time, no matter what the input is from others. This should be the output of a mu'min. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. That's the setting of every mu'min. That Allah has set it on it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِي النَّعْمَةِ وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. Let me deal with rejectors, with these disbelievers. Al-mukadhibina ulin na'mah. What does ulin na'mah means? Those who are enjoying the pleasures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leveled the disbelievers as people ulin na'mah. What does this ulin na'mah mean? This is the beauty of the Arabic language. With a slight change in the vowels, you get a big difference in the meaning. We all know that we have the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then why is He calling just the kuffar the people of the ni'mah? Remember, over here, this word is used with fatha on the noon, na'mah. Na'mah means getting lost in the luxurious life. Na'mah means a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you put a kasra under the noon, that's na'mah, means a blessing. But if a blessing is misused and a person through those blessings will just get lost in them, that will be called na'mah with the fatha. And with the dhamma on the noon, na'mah means happiness. So all three vowels will have different meanings for you. Na'mah, na'mah, and na'mah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala labeled the kuffar as mukadhibina ulin na'mah. Ulin na'mah. The rejectors who are lost in this worldly gain. Simply means is not the attitude of a believer to be lost in this worldly gain. That does not suit a believer. And therefore he says, this only fits al-mukadhibin, the rejectors of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, a person who believes in Quran, who believes in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can the worldly gain keep him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There is no way. No way that these things, this worldly gain, will be able to keep the person away from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we find ourselves, God forbid, going into that direction, that this worldly gain is keeping us away from Allah, keeping us away from salah, from fulfilling our responsibilities towards our deen, towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should know that this ni'mah now is not a ni'mah anymore, it's becoming a na'mah, which means something that is making us be lost in the worldly gain and forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not an attitude of a believer. It does not suit a believer to be a person of a ni'mah. This is ni'mah for us, and let's just keep it as a ni'mah. It will remain a ni'mah as long as that thing we use it, we'll use that thing to help us fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this world, in this life, the main purpose of it is that thing should be a mean of getting us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِي النَّعْمَةِ. Let me deal with these rejectors who are enjoying their pleasures and forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. And give them a respite for a little while. Let them have their pleasure for a little while. Little while, either they will lose what they have, or they will depart from the world and everything will be left behind. So there is no way that the person will have these things for too long. We find so many people who, after me being millionaires, overnight they lost everything. And they end up next day begging people to just have something that they can survive on. Just a little food. They can't find a piece of bread for themselves. And when we look at people dying every day, do we think that those people's balances and accounts are free and are empty and they have nothing? You find that people leaving millions behind, and they're leaving the world. So either the world, the wealth will leave, or we will leave. One of us will leave the other. Therefore, Allah says, وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. Give them that little chance. Because this is their Jannah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said in the hadith, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. This world is a prison for a mu'min, and is a Jannah for a kafir. Because the Jannah of a mu'min, inshallah, is coming next. But the only thing that the kafir will see next is Jahannam. So that will be comparing to that Jahannam, whatever he's having in this life is just Jannah for him. Let him enjoy this. وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِي النَّعْمَةِ وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. And at the same time, the ayah is reminding us that normally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives kuffar a lot in this life. He keeps on giving them. And then at the same time, he keeps on giving them a lot of chances. For a believer, as soon as he does something wrong, Allah will pull him right away. What are you doing? Will shake him up so that he would come back. But for a disbeliever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. Let him do it. Let him have a little more fun. Let him have some more time. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Zukhruf, that if this was not a fact, that even mu'mineen, the believers, will give up their deen, and will ayazu billah, they will become kuffar and they will become disbelievers. Allah says, لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّنْ فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ وَزُخْرُفًا. I would have given disbelievers houses made out of gold and silver, and in addition to that, I would give them much more gold and silver. But if I would do that, mu'mineen and believers will just leave the deen and go out into kufr wal ayazu billah to get those houses that are made out of gold and silver. So, all of this pleasure is not for us. For a mu'min, there is struggle. There is hard work. And after this hard work, inshallah, very soon the time will come when every mu'min will be resting. And from there on, throughout the time, will always be in rest. And will always be enjoying over there, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat al-Mustaqim. After this ayah here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the pleasures, and he talked about the instructions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thus to the ummah. In the next ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his punishment. May Allah protect all of us against it. Inshallah, we will talk about those ayahs in our next sessions. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.